In honor of the episode today, I made some unleavened bread this morning, but I think I'll eat it after the episode. Now, we've probably all heard the scripture that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What is the relevance of leaven in scripture? What does it have to do with Old Testament feasts and the work of Christ? And why is it important for us even today? Let's find out together on today's episode of All Things Apostolic. In the last episode, we examined the Passover, the holy day that commemorates when God passed over the households that were covered by the blood of the Lamb. The first Passover sacrifice of the unblemished Lamb occurred on the 14th day of Nisan, what God identified as the first month of the Jewish sacred year. Now, the civil calendar actually started later in the year, but Passover marked the beginning of the sacred or religious calendar. Let's take a moment to talk about the Jewish sacred calendar with several important feasts. The sacred year began in the month of Nisan with three overlapping feasts in the spring: Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. These feasts were followed by the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost. In the fall, there were the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Weeks. This chart I found online also includes Hanukkah, but that festival was actually added later, as was Purim, which we discussed in a recent episode. But originally, Leviticus 23 established seven feasts, beginning with Passover and ending with Tabernacles. God intentionally designed an annual worship calendar of celebration and reflection, repentance and renewal. Even though God's goodness as Israel's provider and protector was obvious every day, this cycle of feasts provided an important reminder. These were divinely appointed times. Every event pointed back to the past acts of God, as well as looking forward and giving hope for the future. And we know that these feasts foreshadowed the work of Jesus Christ, which is why it's so valuable for us to be familiar with them. We looked at Passover previously, and today we're going to examine the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember that we discussed in the last episode that God aligned the sacred calendar to begin with Passover, because it marked Israel's redemption as a nation from bondage in Egypt. And with God, redemption is always a new beginning. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid that price. As the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he shed his blood as a substitutionary sacrifice for us. Accepting that sacrifice in faith is the beginning of a new life in Christ. So what comes next? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. The 7 days following Passover are called the Festival or Feast of Unleavened Bread. There were some basic commands for this festival. It was to begin on the 15th day of the first month. Now, for Jewish people, the next day begins at sunset, so technically we would consider it beginning on the evening of the 14th day. All of the leavening had to be removed from the house on the first day of the festival, and no leaven was to be eaten during this time. It was a reminder of what the Israelites ate when they left Egypt. And just to clarify, leaven is an additive that causes dough to puff up and expand. In ancient times, this leavening agent would have been yeast. Yeast was added to the dough and kneaded into it, and then the yeast would cause the dough to expand. Since the Israelites left Egypt in a hurry, their dough was unleavened. It had no yeast in it. And when they baked it, the result was bread that was more flat and dense. The specific instructions from God for the Feast of Unleavened Bread were given in Exodus chapter 12, verses 14 through 17. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Now let me pause here to point out the seriousness of this. If anyone ate leavened bread during the 7 day period, they would be cut off from Israel, cast out of the community. This feast was not a recommendation or an option. It was mandatory in order to be part of the community, for someone to be part of the community of faith. So why put so much weight on it? Because the seven feasts were not only meant to instill gratitude and devotion to God, to help Israel live for God, but also to point forward to the work of Christ. So the consequences of not following the parameters of this feast had to be serious enough to ensure that Israel would obey. It needed to be a perfect symbol foreshadowing the future. Sometimes it can be easy for us to look at something in the Bible or even in our own lives that may seem small or relatively insignificant, but in God's eyes, it's a big deal. The Israelites had hope for the future, but they didn't realize the symbolic scope of what they were celebrating. But God did. So when God tells us to pay attention to the little things, even if we don't fully understand why, we need to trust that He has a good reason for it. So let's continue reading with verse 16. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No matter of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread has historical significance and spiritual significance. Historically, when the Israelites fled Egypt, the Egyptians sent them away urgently and in haste because the Egyptians were terrified after the final plague, which was the death of the firstborn. And the people took their dough before it was leavened. So the feast points backward to the historical night of the Passover. Spiritually, this feast is still relevant for us today. In the Bible, leaven is consistently characterized with sin, pride, and unbelief. Just as leaven puffs up the bread, pride puffs up people. In Matthew 16:6, Jesus warned to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. His followers initially thought he was referring to literal bread, but then they came to understand that he meant the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Another example of leaven referring to something negative is in Luke 12, when Jesus again said to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the explanation is provided in Luke 11. Jesus said that the Pharisees worried about making the outside of the cup and platter clean, but their inward part was full of ravening and wickedness. They gave alms, thinking that would make all things clean. They liked the best seats in the synagogues and being greeted like celebrities in the market. They tithed herbs, but didn't enact justice and display the love of God. Their hypocrisy was like leaven. Well, so how does leaven work? Yeast has an active microorganism that is able to use carbohydrates to develop and produce carbon dioxide through a process of fermentation. And from this chemical reaction, the carbon dioxide gets trapped in the dough or batter, and then it pushes the dough upward and makes it rise. Just like it only takes a little bit of leaven to impact the whole ball of dough, it only takes a little bit of corruption to start permeating throughout the church. It works silently and secretly. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5:9 that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul used this metaphor to describe how false teaching was affecting the church. Even a small amount can influence the whole. Just as the feast required people in the household to clean out all of the leaven, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul admonished believers to clean out the old leaven. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Greek word used for old by Paul here is the same Greek word used in other scriptures to refer to old wine, old wineskins, and old garments. So it has literally the meaning of old. And it's also the same Greek word for old used by Paul in Ephesians 4:22, when Paul told his audience not to walk in the vanity of their mind like other Gentiles who gave themselves over to lasciviousness, uncleanness, and greediness. That is not what the Ephesians learned from Christ. Paul said, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." In other words, people who have been redeemed should put away the old self and the old manner of life that's corrupt and put on the self that is created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Paul also used the same Greek word for old in Romans 6:6 when he said that our old man is crucified with him, referring to Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Through baptism, our old self is buried with Christ. By being freed from sin, we can put away the old leaven and become servants of righteousness instead. Now, in homes where Passover is observed, the celebration cannot begin until all of the leavened products are removed. Traditionally, on the night before Passover, the father would do a final search for any remaining leaven in the house. By candlelight, he would use a feather and a spoon to sweep up every little bit of leaven. When he was done, he would put the feather, spoon, and any breadcrumbs collected into a bag and burn them the next morning. We have experienced a spiritual Passover. We have the blood covering of the perfect Lamb who has no spot or blemish. Jesus redeemed us from our old ways and freed us from the bondage of sin. But he didn't free us so that we could indulge in worldly things and give in to fleshly desires like pride and hypocrisy. Just like the Jewish people cleaned their homes to prepare for the Passover celebration, we have to clean our hearts. We need to clean out the old leaven that may still be hidden in corners of our heart that hinders our participation in Passover spiritual blessings. It should be our goal to be part of a church characterized by the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And now, I'm going to have some unleavened bread. Enjoy your day. God bless you.